You're listening to the Puck Authority Podcast, your go-to source for all things hockey.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Puck Authority Podcast. On this week's episode, I'm really pleased to be joined by Josh Eastern, who is one of a couple of guys who are helping to call the NWHL bubble in Lake Placid, New York for the two-week event. Josh, thank you so much for taking time to do this tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely a pleasure. So this has been a really unique event, to say the very least, with broadcasters calling the games remotely from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Meanwhile, the games themselves are happening at the Herbrooks Arena in Lake Placid, New York. So let's start off here. How did you get into calling these games alongside Steve Goldstein and the rest of the team?
Yeah, so it's actually been really cool to be able to get this opportunity to call the NWHL. I know it's been kind of obviously a weird 2020 with the pandemic and everything, but getting this opportunity has been really cool. So I work for a company called Vista World Link. It's based down here in Dania Beach, Florida, which is in between Fort Lauderdale, like you said, in Miami. And we're actually kind of like the hub of all things like American soccer. But Vista does a lot more things than just soccer. And obviously we brought on the NWHL, and kind of Vista's role is that it's totally REMI, which is remote broadcasting, as you may know. So we aren't actually there. We're calling it down here in Florida, but Vista got the rights, I guess you could call it, to produce and broadcast all 21 games leading up to three games on NBCSN, and sending them all to Twitch. So we've been doing that, and I guess we're kind of right in the middle of it right now. And it's been great so far. I've really enjoyed it.
Now, you come into this with broadcasting experience yourself with CONCACAF soccer. So, I mean, with that, you know, it's a really different angle when you're going from one sport to completely the other, and hockey is a very fast moving one. So, you know, can you talk a little bit about what the, you know, kind of adjustment has been like within the first week of action?
Yeah, it's been really different. I'll just be honest with you. This is my first kind of go at calling hockey. I've watched a decent amount of hockey just kind of casually throughout the years. I'm actually from Seattle, so I'm wearing my Seattle Kraken shirt right now. So I'm excited to kind of get into that. But this is kind of my first go at hockey, and it's been a really fun experience. I've loved it so far. But kind of as you mentioned, I'm usually calling soccer, which is obviously much, much slower paced. And it's just kind of, it's a little more casual. Hockey is, I mean, run and gun. It's super fast, but I've enjoyed the challenge of being able to kind of think on my feet a little bit quicker and getting this chance, because the games are, I guess, are sort of similar to soccer in the fact that you're just trying to get something in a goal, but in hockey, it obviously happens a lot faster. There's a lot more rules, but it's been a blast so far, and I've enjoyed it.
Right, and this is the pro women's game, and you know, there's been the CWHL, there's the PWHPA, there's the NWHL, and you know, the action wherever you go, or wherever you have gone rather, now that the CWHL is defunct, continues to be really good and really strong, and we're seeing that so far at the Herbrooks Arena, and they really set the stage in such a historic way and making such an event possible in lieu of the COVID-19 pandemic that is currently going on. So I'll ask you again, you mentioned that you've watched a lot of hockey, and so when you look at the women's game as you've been part of the broadcast team, and then you look at the NHL, you know, what are you seeing that you like so far? Because again, from a physicality angle, I mean, I'll say it myself, I've seen continued physicality from the CWHL into the NWHL, especially a couple of days ago. That was between Toronto and the Riveters with the massive hit from Julie Allen. So I want to get your perspective on the kind of the differences between the two, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of going off of the game I did the other night, which was Toronto and Boston, really cool, actually, opportunity to do that game with it being Toronto's first win and it being over Boston. But I think that game and the game you mentioned as well were two games that really showed kind of how far this game has come, because that was a really physical game. Those teams didn't feel like they really liked each other a whole lot, which I think is great for the league. I think rivalries like that are always really cool. Toronto and Boston are obviously two great hockey towns with the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, but just seeing that kind of physicality, seeing that sort of emotion, I think it comes out maybe a little bit more when the season is so compressed, when you're playing games kind of every other day. You just got to leave it all out there. You're in Lake Placid. which is a whole nother thing, which is awesome. But you're only there for 2 weeks. You want to raise that Isabel Cup. You want to get on NBCSN. There's so many things that are kind of pulling at these athletes right now that I think are extra motivators and are making it a really cool experience for them.
And during this tournament, every single game matters. You have to be playing your best, and we've certainly seen a lot of that. And when I say that, I actually look at your shirt and see the next inaugural NHL team. So in this sense, yeah, it's the first inaugural, or well, the second inaugural NWHL team in the Toronto Six. What have you liked from them so far? Again, the physicality has certainly been something to see. But what else have you noticed that you're really enjoying as you continue to go through this experience with another week of action ahead?
Yeah, no, I actually have really liked Lindsay Eastwood, and there was a really cool clip I watched of an interview with her on Sportsnet, and she was talking about getting the opportunity to be in Lake Placid and play for the Toronto Six, but also her parents were able to send her a clip of her scoring the first ever goal for Toronto on Sportsnet, and she was kind of talking about how she never thought she'd get that opportunity to be on Sportsnet, to have that sort of opportunity. She said it kind of made her emotional. And I thought that was, I mean, that's what this whole thing is all about, to give all these women an opportunity to play. And I know it's kind of their side job, if you will, because I mean, they're all working hard during the day in the hotel. She said she had a meeting to go to. She was kind of tearing up after that, but that's just kind of what this opportunity is for them. And I guess another part of Toronto that I really like is Digit Murphy. She is absolutely fantastic. I know going into the tournament, she remade that miracle speech, which is so cool with it being in Lake Placid and all. But she's been really fun to listen to in post game press conferences. Just seeing her on the bench, she's been, I think, a really cool part of this Toronto Six team. And you saw that video, I'm sure, of them dancing kind of outside the locker room after. That's just part of the fun that team is having right now.
Yeah, she adds another element of energy, fun, excitement. And not only that, but she's somewhat of a legend herself with about 22 years of coaching under her belt, a Hall of Famer in her hometown of Rhode Island. And so it just adds another element to what's been a really exciting first week of the NWHL. And now we're heading into what's mostly a seeding week after tomorrow, which kind of concludes the regular season. So, you know, we look at rivalries, and one of the coolest things to me seeing is that, you know, Buffalo and Toronto geographically would have been rivals, and you know, so happens our first season in a bubble. Meanwhile, online it's been Boston and Toronto. So do you want to talk a little bit about that first game that you called being the Pride and the Six?
Yeah, no, that was a really fun game, and I was really looking forward to it. I mean, just going into it, anytime you have a hockey game between a team from Boston and a team from Toronto, that's really cool. Obviously Toronto is a crazy hockey town. Boston is a crazy sports town as well, with the Patriots, the Celtics, the Red Sox. I mean, it's just those two towns, whenever they get together, it's a fun rivalry. And I think to be able to bring that to women's hockey is absolutely awesome, because both those two towns are just hockey crazy towns. And I think with the inaugural match between those two teams, it lived up to the hype. With we talked about it being physical. Boston was kind of the favorite coming into this whole thing, although they've kind of faltered as of late. And then Toronto, we didn't really know a whole lot about them, obviously, because they hadn't played. Practices were, of course, tough. The team just kind of learned to play with each other. Those first two games they played over the weekend, it felt like they were so close, a couple bounces just going the wrong way. Then they got in that game against Boston. The first two periods were really tough for them. But then they came out in that third period, and, man, they played really, really well. I don't know what Digit Murphy said in that second intermission dressing room, but man, that was a really inspiring performance. And something she said kind of going into that game was in terms of getting on the power play, was it if you're playing hard when it's 5-on-5, you're going to get those power play opportunities. They played hard right out of the gate in that third period. They got a couple power plays, they scored some goals, and of course they won the game.
And they continue to look good. I mean, you look at their last game with a 4-2 win, empty netter in the final seconds. That had to be reviewed. But nonetheless, Toronto continuing to put on a show, to say the very least. And now they're in third place, just under the Connecticut Whale. And when we look at the Connecticut Whale, something that continues to impress me is their young goaltender, Abby Ives from Quinnipiac University, whose last outing was certainly impressive. So I'll leave it up to you to give me your thoughts on that. And a question that was asked to me today is, okay, so with the rescheduling, what do you do with Ives? Do you let her start the first game or the second game for them being Toronto? What do you think?
Yeah, that I mean that's interesting. Something Colton Orr told us in our we're able to have a couple of chats with the coaches kind of in between games and everything was in a tournament or in a tournament setting when it's as short as this, if you get a hot goaltender, you just got to ride her and just kind of see what happens as the tournament continues. And if she's putting up these numbers like she is, I think her save percentage is second in the league right now. She's been an absolute wall in net for them. I don't see why you would kind of take her out of that position. You just kind of got to ride the hot hand, especially in this type of tournament. But it all depends on kind of how these seeding games now work out moving forward with the top three, each playing each other here in the next couple of days. And of course, then Boston and Buffalo playing each other. So the schedule's been kind of rearranged. But if you have a hot goaltender, I feel like you just got to stick with her moving forward. But obviously, that's for Colton Orr to decide, and we'll see what happens there.
Right, and now due to COVID-19, the Metropolitan Riveters are out of the tournament due to health and safety concerns. So it takes out one really strong team. However, again, these are still a lot of strong teams that are now five teams put into the reseeding that will go in starting tomorrow afternoon into the remainder of the week, which will then conclude with the Isabel Cup final on NBCSN. And that quote from Orr is actually something really strong to work with, because if you look at the Boston Pride, they've already been through enough in their own ways. Jenna Rolt suffered a wrist fracture. She's out for the rest of the tournament. And then you look at Jillian Dempsey, who suffered somewhat of an injury herself. She's being reevaluated and may or may not play tomorrow. Can you talk about, you know, the impact that, you know, the Pride are kind of seeing in that kind of sense and dealing with that, never mind the goaltending, where another way Lovisa Slander is the hot hand goaltender?
Yeah, no, I mean, they've been a really interesting team, and I was able to do their first game against Minnesota, and what a game that was. But I mean, coming into the season, it was Boston. They were 23-1 last year. They were probably going on to win the Isabel Cup a year ago. And then all of a sudden they reload, they trade up and get Sammy Davis for the number one pick. They sign all these new players, Taylor Turnquist, a bunch of other really good players to add to that depth. And each of their four lines was really, really strong. They had a really young line with Wenskowski, Davis, and Vanasova that I thought was playing really good hockey. But it just hasn't all come together, which is really interesting. Christina Poutina has been scoring some goals for them, getting some points, but it's just been interesting. It's something Paul Mara said coming into this thing was, you guys can all tell us we're the favorites, but we still have to go out and we have to win those games. We have to score those goals, make those big saves, and get the job done. So far, they haven't. As you mentioned, Lovisa Solander's been pretty good in goal, but that defense with Jenna Rowe going out did take a little bit of a hit. They were able to bring in Brianna Mastel after that in her spot. So they're still a very good team now. Of course, we don't know what Jillian Dempsey, whether her injury is going to get her back for one of these next few games. But I still think if Boston can sneak into that fourth spot, which they should probably be favored to do, I still think you got to treat them like the really good team they are, because their players just haven't played up to their standard yet. But I still think that it's very possible that they could.
And with the Riveters out again, the standings have also been rearranged. So Toronto, who was in second, is now in third. Then you look at Boston, who is in fifth. They are now in fourth, moving Buffalo up to fifth, which is now last place. And they're going to take on each other in a best of three starting tomorrow. Again, the first game concluding the regular season, and then the rest of it all kind of reseeding. So, you know, what do you see with a match like that, where Buffalo, I believe, is yet to get a win, and Boston, who surprisingly only has won, again, the best team in the NWHL last year?
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting series, because I think Buffalo comes into that thinking, all right, like, we were kind of out of it. Now all of a sudden it's new life for us. We have a chance if we win two of these next three games to get into the Isabel Cup playoffs. And that's a really good opportunity for them. They look kind of down and out, but they're going up against, of course, a Boston team that, as we just mentioned, is playing well below their standard. And you feel like they'll be able to pick it up at some point, but it's going to be very interesting, because Boston beat them pretty good on Sunday. So how does Buffalo respond? Are there any changes that are made? Carly Jackson's going to have to come up huge in net again for them. They're going to have to try to find a little bit of offense as well. But I'm intrigued to see it. If Buffalo can steal one of those games, that's going to make things very, very interesting.
what Buffalo holds in common with teams like Toronto and Connecticut is the amount of young talent. And I guess you would say Boston with the kid line that you mentioned. And I call it the kid line because I think of Toronto, who actually calls their kid line the kid line. So
sure,
Sarah Efcott too, Godbu, along with Mekhi the Grant Mentees. And I don't know, it's not coming to me at the second, but young talent is, astounding for Buffalo. And their young talent, a lot of it comes from the University of Maine, which I noticed is kind of something that they've gone into. Meanwhile, a team like Toronto has gone from Cornell to BU to, you know, everywhere. And it's interesting to see how, for the most part, the young talent is making somewhat of an impact. And, you know, Carly Jackson, again, shutting the door for Buffalo and net. I mean, she's been absolutely terrific. Her last outing was super impressive. So again, very well, that could carry them into the Isabel Cup, you know, semifinals, if they manage to get at least two of the next three games against Boston. So that's going to be something to look out for. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw the Minnesota game against Toronto, but that was a wild one. That Toronto was up 5-1, and all of a sudden, later portion of the second period into the third, Toronto just got destroyed, and Minnesota just came back in a way that was, I think, remarkable to say the very least. Now, they've won one Isabel Cup. They're an expansion team, something Toronto's going to look to follow up and do themselves. And they were in second place, and now they're going to have to fight to get back into second. And again, maybe first, but again, now knowing that they've got to face Minnesota tomorrow, whereas Connecticut maybe would have been easier to start off with. You know, what are you seeing this time around you think Toronto has to be weary of?
Well, first of all, I think Toronto having a few wins under their belt, they're going to feel a lot more confident going into this game. I know early on they were just trying to get chemistry, just basic chemistry down, get line changes right. I mean, just basic timing things. But I think now they've kind of figured things out. I think Digit Murphy knows kind of those right buttons to push now moving forward. But this Minnesota team is really good. And one thing that really stuck out to me when I did them against Boston was just how fast they are. Allie Thunstrom, I know she doesn't have a point yet, which is crazy because last year she was just on fire. But I think she's almost a bit of a sleeping giant right now. But that's a really good team. Haley Mack is scoring some goals for them right now. Levier in goal is, of course, very good as well. That's a really good Minnesota team. I think they have to be considered the favorites right now going in to the Isabel Cup playoffs. But this Toronto team, they've found something here in these last couple games. They have a little bit of confidence. They beat a really good Boston team. So I'm expecting a really good game. I don't know if it's going to be the same as last time where Minnesota has to come back from 5-1 down, but I guess can't count anything out in this Isabel Cup season.
Right. I mean, again, like you said, we continue to see surprises. Haley Mack, again, new to the NWHL. I think nobody expected that, but yet here we are, and Allie Thunstrom doing right now not very much. No one expected that either. Now, the right kid line for Toronto is Amy Curlew, Mekhi the Grant Mentis, and Sarah Efcott too. God boo as that came back to me. And what I'll mention is something that's really impressed me is the ability of that line to play consistent hockey. And every time that Mekhi the Grant Mentis specifically takes a shift, she's always doing something near the net, trying to get in on the action. And with that, she's got two goals and one assist and is looking great. You know, again, it's every shift that she makes an impact. And that's something that's really important to Toronto, especially being an expansion team. And with that confidence in place, you know, and Digit's reiterated that she's so much fun and that they love having her. And I think she's going to be kind of that role player along with the captaincy group that's going to carry Toronto into the playoffs. But I wanted to hear from you, you know, how you see this team and, you know, where they stand, because once they face Minnesota, they then face the Connecticut Whale, and they have six draft picks on this team, all of whom were signed during the summer. And I mean, one of them being Kayla Friesen, who has a rocket of a shot and someone to be weary of in my mind. But I want to hear from you, you know, how you see that youthful battle facing up against another youthful battle.
Yeah, no, it's going to be super interesting. There's so many good matchups as this season kind of rolls on, and kind of these just a few games have been played, and kind of what can you take from those previous games into these kind of, I guess, round robin, whatever you want to call it, and then into the Isabel Cupp playoffs. But to your point on Mekhi the Grant Mentis, I thought she played a great game the other night against Boston. They call her Bucky. Me and Erica Ayala, who was on the call with me, we had a lot of good things to say about her. I thought, to your point, she played a great game that night. But I don't know. It's so interesting because there's so many players in this league with so much experience. Yet I feel like this year there's just so many young players, young rookies who are coming into this league and really making an impact. We talked about that line for the Boston Pride. There's a lot, of course, for Toronto as well that you mentioned. But I'm just curious to see kind of just like you, how it's all going to play out, because when there's rookies going up against each other, there isn't too much to kind of base your opinions off of, because you haven't really seen it yet, just kind of from the college game. But I guess that's why they play the games. It should be a really fascinating couple of days here.
Right. And for a lot of us, it's our first time seeing these players, and some of them are really impressing. Some of them are just starting to climb the ladder towards impressing. So again, we've got another interesting week of action ahead, but let's get into the broadcasting tandem. You mentioned that you've been working with Erica Ellis. So first off, what's that experience been like?
Oh, Erica's been great to work with. She's a wealth of knowledge on the NWHL. It's been great to work with her. Katie Gauz, I haven't had the chance to work with her. She's been mostly with Steve Goldstein. Josh Appel is the other play-by-play broadcaster, and Alexis Pearson. She's now coming in this weekend. She was supposed to start on Thursday. Of course, those games were scratched, so she'll be here the next couple of days, and you guys will really enjoy what she has to say. But it's been fun to work with everybody so far, even everybody in the production rooms. They've been great to work with as well, and it's been a fun couple of days, and I know I've only been able to do a couple of games so far just because of the moving schedule, but I'll be back on Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So Sunday, those games are, looks like Connecticut and Toronto and Boston and Buffalo. Are you doing both those games?
Yeah, I'm doing both of those. Yep.
Those are going to be two really great games again, seeing the youthful battle at 6 p.m. and then at 3 p.m. seeing Boston try and get themselves further up and Buffalo try and get themselves what I believe, again, is still their first win of the tournament. And they're a team that I continue to keep my eye on because they've got talent from, everywhere. And they've got a really nice balance of both veteran and youth. And the youth comes from both the United States as well as Ontario, with Taylor Kersey's sister Hunter now on the team. And she's one of a few Canadians on the team. And while Taylor's not there, it seems that Buffalo is kind of at somewhat of a loss, especially with Lisa Chess and another impactful face not there as well. So do you think that that's kind of hurting Buffalo stock in all of this?
Oh, of course. I mean, when you take out a player, I'm just looking at some stats here of Taylor Kersey, who had 25 points last year. She was an all-star. I mean, that's a huge loss, and the experience she would bring as well. And then playing with her sister, which is also really cool. But when you lose a player like that, and of course it's for good reason, she has to work back in Canada on the police force. But when you miss a player like that, you're of course going to take some hits. But as you mentioned, it's a very young team. It's a great opportunity for all those young players to get some great minutes. And then I think moving into next year, if they can build off of this, maybe try to steal a game against Boston, maybe and win the thing. Why not? I'm not going to count them out. I'm not going to count anybody out in this Isabel Cup season. But if they can take some confidence just from a few small things and try to just implement that game in and game out, maybe even next season as well, I think you can see a team that could start to grow a little bit.
And the Riveters, surprisingly, were a team that was doing just that, despite a huge shakeup within their roster before they unfortunately were taken out due to COVID-19, with what I understand is a couple of members on the team, both coaching and players, infected. So with that, I look at the young talent that was there, from Sora Tinker to Tara Hoffman to Sammy Collarat, Kaylee Hutchison, who is in her first year as alternate captain of the Riveters and second year total in the NWHL with that team. So, I think it's a huge, hit and disappointment to the rest of the league that they're not there. But in your mind, does it make it a little bit easier? I don't know how much you've studied up on this team, but, for me at least, as someone perhaps a little more familiar with the NWHL, I don't know if I'd say easier is the word, but again, a lot of talent there, just like the rest of the league. I mean, it's great to see, how much they've been able to stock up on each roster heading into such a tournament. So your thoughts?
Yeah, no, and kind of coming into the season, talking with people like Erica, people like Alexis, it felt like Boston, Minnesota were the top two teams. Could somebody unseat one of those two teams or both? And then it felt like you kind of had that second kind of tier, if you will, of kind of those next three teams. And then of course Toronto was kind of in their own separate tier because we didn't know what Toronto was going to be. Obviously they had a ton of talent there. We just didn't know how it was all going to come together. It's obviously been pretty good so far, and Digit Murphy has done a good job. But Metropolitan, of course, they started off so well, and it felt like, okay, like we have a team that's going to try to challenge a Boston, challenge a Minnesota, and try to maybe get into that Isabel Cup final. Obviously, it didn't work out with the COVID situation, just an unfortunate situation there. But it's kind of unfortunate just because I would have liked to see what would have happened. Would they have faced off against a Minnesota in the final? Could they have beaten a Boston maybe in a semifinal if Boston won a few more games? But we'll of course never know now. But it was a good storyline, at least last week.
It was. And I mean, more than anything, I think they were a younger team. I mean, yes, they still had a few vet faces. And when I say that, I mean, Kelly Babstock, of course, a new face organization, however, a veteran in the league nonetheless, Rebecca Russo, Brooke Avery, who was in her second year, I believe, in the NWHL as well. And so, you know, with that, again, we'll never know how that works out. And what would have been really cool is to see, because both Lindsay from Toronto and Brooke from the Metropolitan Riveters are friends from Syracuse. So that would have been a really cool to see that in itself. But hey, like you said, we're never going to get to know. And you know, given this, you know, interesting and uncertain, you know, circumstance that has brought us into this 2-week event, it's going to be really, I think, a contest to the finish. To see who gets into the cup final and then wins the cup. So with that, I guess we'll kind of start to wrap up today's show. Who do you think is going to take home the cup in the end?
Oh, man, I mean, it's so tough to say. Of course, you have a team like Toronto that's seemingly kind of getting rolling. You have a team like Connecticut who has been very good so far, but can they get those big wins when you need them? I was supposed to do the Connecticut-Minnesota game on Thursday. I was really intrigued to see that game because Connecticut was a team that, all right, they played some good teams. They've gotten good results, but can they beat that top team? I guess we'll find out later this weekend, but right now I can't count out Minnesota. I think they're the favorites right now. They've been playing really good hockey, really good offense. And of course, Levier in goal has been fantastic. It was cool to see Winnie Brown score her first career NWHL goal the other day too. So if I had to pick a team, I'd probably say Minnesota right now. But I mean, I feel like it's kind of wide open right now, especially with a team like Boston. If they can get by Buffalo and you put them up against a team like Minnesota, if they are still number one come Thursday, man, that's going to be a really, really good semifinal.
That would be a really good semifinal. What I'd like to see is the Toronto Six face off in the final, whether that's, I don't know, if Boston manages to make somewhat of a comeback or if that happens to be Minnesota again. But, you know, for now, they're going to face the Whitecaps tomorrow. And that in itself is going to be a game not to take eyes off of, because, again, the talent of both teams, as we saw the other day, is something to, you know, you don't want to miss a moment of that game now, because you see the comeback that Minnesota achieved. And with Toronto having more confidence, like you mentioned earlier in, I mean, how can you not watch that one? So what happens there? My last question for you is, and this is something that I've noticed as well, Brooke Boquist has been, you know, a huge piece to the Toronto Six, along with Mikayla Grant-Mentis now getting on the scoreboard with 2 goals and 3 assists. What are you liking from her game? And do you think that she's also kind of a leading piece for the inaugural franchise?
Oh, absolutely. She's a leading piece. She's been fantastic. And I just remember back there was a play where she just had tremendous stick work. I mean, just her stick handling has been so good. I think she's been a tremendous player on offense for them. And if she can continue to play like she has, Toronto has a really good piece with Brooke Boquist to go along with D'Arcangelo and go along with Bucky, who we were talking about earlier. I think they can be a sneaky good team. And honestly, if they avoid Minnesota, which they might avoid Minnesota in the semifinals if Minnesota's the one, or if however it shakes out. But if they can face off against a team like Connecticut, I think they have a really good chance to get onto that Isabel Cup final. But we just have to see how it all shakes out, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a great second week of action. Can't wait for it to get going. And it all starts tomorrow at 3 p.m. now rather than 12 p.m. for those of you who have not yet seen the schedule updates. And that game, again, the 12 p.m. matchup is now 3 p.m. being Boston versus Buffalo. Boston versus Buffalo. And then that's followed by Minnesota and Toronto. And again, Boston versus Buffalo is three games, so you can look out for those. And then the rest of the week through is Connecticut and Toronto. Then you're going to see Minnesota versus Connecticut. And then you're going to see seed one versus seed four and seed two versus seed three before moving on to the finals. So, Josh, thank you so much for doing this. And before we log off for the night, where can viewers and fans of the NWHL find you on socials?
Yeah, just it's pretty simple. At Twitter is at Josh Eastern, just my name. Try to make it pretty simple. And I'll be watching the games this weekend. I'll be on the call on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been some great hockey so far.
I look forward to hearing you back on the call. Again, these games available at twitch.tv/NWHL. So if you've yet to tune into a game, please do that and support these wonderful women as they go on their quest for the Isabel Cup final. So, Josh, thank you again. My name is Justin Levine. You can follow me on Twitter for continuous updates on the Toronto Six at Justin Levine HBS. But other than that, that wraps up episode 36 of the Puck Authority Podcast. That's Josh. I'm Justin. Out.